Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Soraya. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready to get started.
All right, let's get started.
Hi, this is Soraya.
And this is Jeff.
Our podcast is called Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme.
A podcast where the two of us play music that we like and share anecdotes and background about the tunes.
We hope you'll join our conversation. And without further ado, a grubiar.
Let's get groovy. So today on Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme, Soraya and I are excited to be talking to singer-songwriter Russ Tolman about his upcoming album Goodbye El Dorado. Russ began playing with Steve Wynn and Kendra Smith. Those guys eventually went on to form Dream Syndicate. But Russ, Steve, Kendra were joined by Gavin Blair and Steve Suchel, and they formed The Suspects in 1978. And shortly after The Suspects split, Russ and Gavin went on to form True West, who we know about. Those guys released several albums before parting ways in 1985, I believe. And since then, Russ has released 7 full-length studio albums, and his 8th that we're going to be talking about today is due on April 19th, and that's Goodbye El Dorado. So Russ, we wanted to thank you for joining the podcast to talk about this new album.
You're welcome. I hope there's not a quiz. There was a lot of information there. I'm not sure if I'm even clear on all that.
Russ, please go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you've certainly been involved with a lot of stuff, Russ.
Well, you know, it's been a long time, it has been quite a ride, and it's fun to be back in the saddle, as they say on the old cowboys.
Well, we're excited to hear this new album again out on April 19th. And Russ, just to backtrack a little bit, your last album of new material, New Quadraphonic Highway, was released in 2000. So.
Yes.
It's been a little bit. And we're really interested to know what inspired you to get back in the studio and give us Goodbye El Dorado. That's been an album that has been called a love letter to Los Angeles.
At a certain point around 2000, I was pretty busy. I had a label called The Interstate at that point in time and was busy doing other people's music. And that went on for a few years. And I just I'd gotten married and didn't really feel like touring all the time. You know, that's not so good for a marriage. And I just decided I wanted to get in touch with my inner adult and do adult things for a while rather than couch surfing around the world. So at a certain point, it just became possible to do music again. And I realized, hey, I really enjoy doing this. When I moved back to LA in 2011, I started playing with a lot of the guys like Kirk Swan and Robert Lloyd and Dave Drury and Dave Provost that I played with in the past. And we do the occasional show, and it just kind of built from there.
Nice.
Yeah, so Russ, you mentioned those guys. We did want to ask you about the other musicians that you had on the album. Can you tell us a little bit more about those guys? I know you briefly mentioned them.
Sure. Robert Lloyd, he plays probably every instrument known to man, but we only let him play organ, piano, and mandolin, as well as the accordion on this record. And it's tough to play them all at the same time, but the guy, he's incredible. And we did record the record fairly live. I mean, to that, I'll mention everybody else. So Kirk Swan on guitar, Guitarzilla. He was originally in a band called Dump Truck from the East Coast, who were quite big in the 80s. And he's since then gone on to play with a bunch of people like Amy Rigby, Matt Keating, Steve Wynn. Actually, he was in the Dream Syndicate for a few shows here last year when Jason was, the guitarist was gone having a baby. Well, his girlfriend was having a baby, I don't think. I think he just watched. And we also had Dave Provost on bass, and you'll know Dave from Medicine Show, Dream Syndicate. And Dave has amazing stories. He took guitar lessons from bass player Carol Kay of back when he was a youngster, and at one point in time even played in a R&B cover band that featured Al Green as the vocalist.
What?
Before Al was famous, he was flying out here to LA to be in this big R&B review band that Dave played guitar in. Davis had the most amazing career. Let's see, but it's not all about Dave. There was also Kevin Jarvis on drums, and Kevin has played with Lucinda Williams. He's done some studio work with Brian Wilson. Grant Lee Phillips. He's with him, toured with him and a bunch of people, and also was in Steve Wynn band back in the day. And that's how I met Kevin. We did a tour together back in 1990 of Spain and Italy. And Kevin was on drums, and we never ever played before this record. And Kevin now has a studio over in Venice, and that's where we recorded the record. So he kind of did double duty. He was double dipping as both engineer and drummer.
Wow.
And we did, yeah, we went in and did for a period of 3 days recording all songs live. Very few overdubs, just me coming back and fixing my guitar and redoing the vocals. But other than that, here solos and stuff are just a really great band playing like they used to.
Wow, that's really cool. And you had a few other guest musicians, right? Doing backing vocals and some trumpet.
Oh, yeah. Dan Janish, singer-songwriter here around town, who has a new record out called Raccoon Town. And then Slim Zverling playing trumpet and flugelhorn on the songs. So we have a little bit of mariachi feel on songs and you know, the convert back rack, Hal David, Dionne Warwick feel of the mid-60s.
Nice. Yeah, I noticed that on a few tracks.
You know, I want to jump in here and talk about this lead-off track, Los Angeles, because when you talk about that kind of mariachi feel, you know, the Southwestern flair is, I mean, it's just evident, you know, with on the lead-off track, Los Angeles, you hear Robert Lloyd's accordion, Slim's trumpet. But I want to ask you about this little piece in the lyrics. So in the song, the song's protagonist begs for Los Angeles to please take care of a former lover who's left behind a big empty house and a note that read, "Adios, amigo."
I come home, got her a note. Adios, amigo is all she wrote. No explanation, consolation prize. Just a big empty house and a sad surprise. She's gone.
Okay, I want you, can you expand on this a little bit? I thought this really spoke to me in this song. What is this song, Los Angeles? How is this story of this whole album starting out with Los Angeles and this little moment here?
You know, it's the story of someone moving on and starting a new life from the point of view of the person who's been left and who is standing still. And there's no, I don't think there's any, you know, there's nothing in my life that it's not autobiographical. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I'm very happy that my wife has not left me yet. we've been together now. We'll be married 19 years in June. And it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And so, yeah, it's, thank God it's not about me, but, you know, I think it's a thing that other people can feel and it's a story, you know, we can relate to.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, Russ, so a lot of the album does feel like with each song that they're little stories or little vignettes, and it seems to be a current theme throughout the album of, I would say, places and people in the Southern California area. So it's, to me, it's almost like a concept album in that each one of these little stories or little vignettes make up a bigger whole, and that's Southern California, or specifically Los Angeles. And that, so the next track is the lead-off single, right? It's your first single from the album, that's Kid. And on the album, you're singing about just another California kid from a broken home who likes to stay out and hang out with her friends, and the mother doesn't even notice that she's gone. We wanted to go through each song and ask you about these little vignettes or these little stories, and if you could just briefly tell us about each song. And again, the next song is Kid.
Another California kid from a broken home. Her stepfather won't leave her alone. Her dad is married to another cop. The child support payments just don't stop. Mom, she bought herself the local bar. Now stepfather doesn't have to drink in the car. Just wants to stay out with her friends and drive a town. And mom doesn't notice that she's not around. Please don't make me go home. Please don't make me go home. California kid from a valley town. Her stepbrother doesn't want her around. Her teachers think she might be smart or talented at art. There's a boy working up the nerve to act and not observe. Just wants to stay out with her friends and drive to town. And mom doesn't notice that she's not around. An attitude, her family's come quite unglued. Every night's a bona fide horror show, but she's got no place else to go. She just wants to stay out with her friends and drive the town. And mom doesn't notice that she's not around. Please don't make me go home. Please don't make me go home. Please don't make me go home.
I think there's enough people out there that kind of have home lives enough like that, that it kind of, they know what I'm talking about. So yeah, that one is a little autobiographical.
Yeah. I can certainly relate to that one as well.
Yeah. It's it's the way it is.
You know, with each track, this this very vivid painting, right, of LA starts to come to life. And so in the third track, that's North Hollywood Dream, you address the dreams of many going to Hollywood to make dreams come true. And in the song, the dreamer ends up living a domestic life with housing kids.
You found yourself a partner, and now you've a couple kids. Buying's better than renting, and now it's time to find new digs. You're finally in LA, let the dreaming begin. But right now, there's mouths to feed, and there's too much new to take in. Dream, dream while you're sleeping. Dream again when you wake. You'll have plenty of time for dreaming. So dream for dreaming's sake. Dream, dream while you're sleeping.
Is it that the dream changes? Or are you just showing us that, you know, along with the moving on between space and between different spaces and between, you know, just the moving on of time, that our dreams change?
I think it was more for me, it's sort of like the, this person is going to, you know, pursue these dreams, but there's always like some sort of little reality thing that becomes the excuse for not moving as far ahead as you could. It's either the rent or, you know, I'm not feeling good, or, you know, we've got kids in the house. So yeah, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, there, I guess the way reality comes up and slaps people in the face with all these dreams, and sometimes it's an excuse and sometimes it's just, that's the way it is.
So this next song might be my new theme song. So I don't live in Los Angeles, but I spend a lot of time on its freeways, traveling here and there to concerts and whatnot. So the next song is entitled 405. And for those of us that live in the area, we know that this is a freeway or highway that most of us travel periodically. And it's funny, in the chorus, Russ, you sing 405, you're really going to piss me off. 405, I'm stuck and I can't get off. And I've been in that situation many a day.
405, you're really gonna piss me off. 405, I'm stuck and I can't get off. From Brentwood up to Old Van Nuys, everything is crawling, only minutes seem to fly.
Just so you know, I'm probably going to be singing the song quite often when I'm in that situation.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's like everybody who lives in LA or around LA, you know, they know what I'm talking about. It's like, okay, it's almost too obvious, but I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, and in the song you sing, it sounds like you're singing about leaving Los Angeles because of the traffic congestion or because of all this population stuff that we have to deal with here.
Yeah, there was a little hinting at leaving LA, and that kind of goes through the whole record. And actually, I did leave LA for a while. We lived in Japan for about 6 months last year. We recorded the record at the end of 2017, and then my wife got this great job offer from Japan, and we moved there. And so I ended up mixing the record in Japan. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so, but now we're back here in LA. So it's like a magnet. Just when I think I'm out, it keeps drawing me back in.
Well, welcome back to Los Angeles and its busy freeways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the new theme song for anyone who knows exactly, who feels that sentiment of that song. And, you know, I want to harken back to your time in Osaka, because the title track, Goodbye El Dorado, I thought this was, this message in particular, this song, is an interesting transition to the next series of songs. But in it, I like this set of lyrics. I've learned all your lessons and the teaching time is done. Pack up and move on towards the rising sun.
I've learned all your lessons and the teaching time is done. Pack up and move on toward the rising sun. Goodbye, El Dorado. Regrets I've had a few.
So I know this is, or, you know, I believe this is connected to your time in Japan. Can you talk to us about, you know, it's interesting that you were mixing it in Japan and, you know, just kind of letting the project finish in Japan. How was it about being in that location and finishing this album, mixing it there? It seems like there's a lot of goodbyes in that song, either explicitly or implicitly.
You know what's really weird about that is I wrote that song way before the whole Japan thing was even on the map.
Wow.
Yeah, and Towards the Rising Sun was actually meaning going east, you know, in the U.S. because we were talking about moving to New York. And so that was kind of where that came from. And then all of a sudden this opportunity to go to Japan material out of nowhere. And so, yeah, it made going there and mixing in the record, they're all very, it's weird, but
wow,
it wasn't that way at all.
I was certain that related to your move.
Yeah, I know. My wife asked me about it, and I said, no, I wrote that, you know, I wrote that before. So
wow.
It is strange. Japan was fun, though. A very interesting place. Very, very, very nice and orderly, and people are friendly, and the weather's not as nice as it is here, but I like Japan. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
That had to have been a big cultural shift for you.
Yeah, you know, in some ways it is, but, you know, I used to know about 5 words of polite Japanese, and I could get by with that. And that Google Translate, so that when I was in the grocery store doing the shopping, I could hold it up to the package, and it would tell me what the heck I was trying to buy.
Nice, powerful tools for an outsider.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how anybody could have gotten by. One of my wife's coworkers, been in Japan off and on since the mid late 80s, and he was saying when he was first over there, there was nothing in English. At least now, when you're in a train station, there's some signs in English. But you know, unlike Europe, where most people speak some English, in Japan, there is not a lot of English spoken. So, and Japanese is really hard to learn because there's just nothing to hang on to. You know, with other European languages, at least there's some similar. I go, oh, well, that sounds sort of like this is remember stuff, but Japanese is just way, way different.
Wow. So we're expecting the follow-up to Goodbye, El Dorado to be Konnichiwa, Osaka.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Well,
so we did want to talk.
Arigato gozaimasu.
There you go.
All right, Russ, so did want to go back to the album and talk about the next song, which is Yuba City. This is a town in Northern California, and I didn't know much about the town, and I Googled it, and there's some interesting stories that happen in that area, some mysterious things. If anybody's interested, Google Yuba City and find out. But what is this song about? Why are you singing about this area in Northern California?
Well, I'm from up there. I was born in Lake County in the town called Lakeport, which is about 100 miles from Yuba City. And I actually went to junior college in Yuba City for a semester. And But the real story is this song is I didn't write it. A fellow in San Francisco wrote this song and actually recorded it. But his version, it's called, forgetting the name of the town in Texas that he named it after. But anyhow, I heard the song. I loved the song. I got in touch with Ted and I said, is there any way that I can record this but change the name of the, you know, change a couple things? And he said, yes, I would love for you to record it. So my version, instrumentally and arrangements, quite a bit different than his. His is like more of a country tune. And yeah, and he talks about somewhere in Texas, which is escaping me at the moment. Sorry, Ted.
Fire up my engine and let out the clutch. This town has never really showed me much. Catch a gust of wind, I think I'll go back to Yuba City. I'm going down to Yuba City, if I'm going down at all. Myself round town as big as Spain. Boom over Gridley like coming.
I want to ask a question about California Winter. That's the following track. So
you
slow down the pace here. And I wanted to ask about the arrangement for this song. Because you slow down the pace. It's a Spanish feel. And then this nice trumpet solo by Slim. So was, you know, the just the title alone. And then we've got this real change in the melody. Can you talk to us a little bit about what your vision for the arrangement was?
Well, actually, that one just kind of organically became that way. That was a song. There's a fellow named Stephen Murphy from Dublin, Ireland, and he's now living in the Atlanta area. But Steph had a really great band called The Mighty Steph that I met them back in 2009. True West, we occasionally get together for some shows, and we got asked to go to a festival in Norway, and there we met the Mighty Steph, and Steph was still living in Dublin then with his wife and child, and they were just, I love that band, and so, you know, I would go down to South by Southwest and see them, and occasionally they were out here in LA for a while making a record, and so anyhow, Steph and I remained friends, and I did a tour with him in Norway, my first tour in a long time. Actually, we did all of Scandinavia back in the beginning of 2017 when it was very cold. Anyhow, Steph had this song and or the part of this song, and so I finished it. And as far as the arrangement and the feel, I think that just kind of came together in the studio. Dave Provost, the bass player, is quite a good arranger, and all of a sudden, you know, we had a Roomba or whatever. I think that's exact. I think that's what the rhythm is, and so it just built from there. And you know, Seth, you know, did trumpet. He actually played the Cuban style piano on it, and you know, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
In the California winter, I lost my way ahead. My ego was left for dead. Discovering you helped me be reborn. But all there's now is scorn. Still my love is sworn. It can't be torn.
It's got a cool vibe on this one.
Thank you.
So track number 8 is Do You Like the Way? And Russ, I want to say that the verses are pretty harsh on this at the beginning of the song. In fact, in the chorus, you sing, do you like the way you look in this song? Where somebody that's maybe making some poor choices or struggling with some things. And the verses describe how these choices and these struggles that a person is going through And then you sing, "Do you like the way you look?" in the song. But towards the end of the song, you have a really supportive part of the line where you say, "We're all on your side and hope that you climb out."
We're all on your side and hope that you climb out. Stop digging, drop the shovel and find a better route. You're a mess, Jack, but keep coming back. Go through to climb out. And that's enough from me. Time to shut my mouth.
Is this song just a story, or is it about somebody in particular, or just a general?
Yeah, theme? I was angry and disappointed with someone who I like a lot and who is another musician here in town, and I don't know. That's where that came from, and that's actually going to be the next single from the record.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. So. I don't know. That's a delicate situation, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yeah. I was going to say it's my favorite song melodically. I really like what you do with the melody on this, but it is a little tough. I will say that. But I do like how you end the song with the supportive "We're here behind you."
Cool.
That's a good vibe.
Yeah, I have to mention John Klages, who actually we wrote that together. He was responsible for a lot of the chord changes. John is an amazing guitar player. He used to play with me. He used to be in Richard Lloyd's band in New York in the 80s. And he was also in a band from Hoboken called The Individuals. And he's been out here in LA for years and kind of gave up music. But I hear that he's actually working on an album, and be his first album. He had a solo album out on Bar None. Oh, geez. You know, in the 80s sometime. So hopefully John makes a comeback, because he's been wasting his life at Lionsgate. He should be in music, not in the movie business.
That's the message. There you go. And Russ, I wanted to ask about Almost Heaven and the arrangement for that song. You know, in that song, the song's lyrics really evoke this idea of Southern California as a fond memory, and how it's almost heaven.
Southern California's almost heaven to me, with perpetual fun in the summer sun. It's the only place to be. It's almost heaven.
I wanted to ask about how that song, you know, how you got the inspiration to write it, but then I wanted to ask about the arrangement. Did that also come together pretty organically, like California Winter, or was it a little different process?
With that one, we were actually out in the desert, and we're in Joshua Tree, and there was a big, this was a couple of years ago, and there was a big fire, I think, over by something. So there was just smoke all into that valley, this song came from describing that kind of weird, odd scene where the smoke was turning, you know, was one, the sun, you kind of kept sheltered you from the sun, also turned everything very strange colors, and it was kind of a very cool experience. And then I wrote that, and we tried playing it one time. I'm kind of as a waltz, you know, playing it live, and kind of fell apart, and turned into kind of a beat poetry thing where I was just continuing to, you know, do the lyrics while the band, kind of trying to figure out what something to do. So anyhow, I revisited it when, you know, I was putting together songs for this album. And then when we went to record, Kevin, the drummer, said, you know, that's not really a waltz. That would be better in 6/8. Oh, 6/8. I've never done anything in 6/8 before. Wow. So, yeah, that's another first on this record. Wow. I think cowbell, 6'8", and trumpet are all new to me.
Yeah, I was going to mention the cowbell too on this one.
Well, they all go together nicely.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to Take It Easy, Take It Slow. And in the song, you sing about the biblical figure Methuselah, who, according to biblical texts, is said to have lived to the age of 969, like you mentioned in the song. But in the
that's right.
Yeah,
I have Google. I have all the information of mankind at my fingertips, both real and myths.
So it wasn't from parochial school growing up that you had these Bible study classes.
No. Sadly, was raised as nothing.
Well, in the context of the song, Methuselah's life, it appears to relate to the philosophy of like enjoying life, taking time to smell the roses, as the saying goes, which I think is good advice. So is that the overall message of the song, is to enjoy life and take it easy and enjoy it as it comes?
I guess so. It's more like... You know, I'm not in any hurry to make an exit. That's really what it's all about.
Well, we hope you stick around.
Me too. And you know, I'm sorry to say that I've seen a lot of people that I've known for a while and, you know, or contemporaries making that exit, and it makes me very sad. So, sorry, guys, I don't want to go yet. I'm still here. You know, sort of like that Monty Python thing. I'm not dead yet. You know, the bring out the dead thing. I'm not dead. Sure you are. Just get out of that.
That's hilarious. Cart. Well, I hope you live to be 969. I shoot for 150. That's my personal goal.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, at a certain point, maybe it's not fun anymore. But right now, it's very much fun, and I'm...
We'll stick around.
Yes.
I will stick around, just because you guys asked.
See, Jeff, we need to ask for more things more often. You know, more tracks, more albums, Russ. We're going to keep asking, you know, okay, knowing that you're cool. Listening.
Time goes by fast enough. We don't need to give it a shove. We don't need to give it a shove. Take it slow. I'm in no hurry to go. Take it easy and take it slow. Old Methuselah really had it down. That man knew how to hang around. 969 sounds awfully fine. This hopeful Methuselah.
Russ, before I ask about Pacific Rain, so in the CD notes, you state that the last three tracks, starting with Pacific Rain, are CD only bonus tracks.
Yes.
So the logical question is, does this mean we can expect a vinyl version?
Well, the digital version, you know, if you go to Spotify and stuff, when the record is released, it'll only be a 10-track album. So it's something to encourage people who still care about CDs to, you know, there's an extra reason to go buy the CD. As far as vinyl, originally I wanted to do vinyl, but it just kind of, it was kind of prohibitive, but we'll see. We'll see for maybe there'll be a following vinyl release, but you never know.
Okay.
So right now we can look for this in April on CD and digital version.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. Okay. You know, I'll just put it on my list. You know.
I love vinyl for all the inconvenience and extra expense. That's what I love about it.
Great reason.
You know, Russ, so I want to ask a follow-up. You as an artist, do you find it, I don't know, you know, as prohibited with digital and CD, and not, you know, because you mentioned how vinyl could be, it was just a, you know, there are some prohibited things about it, but do you mind doing digital releases, CD releases? And I like the fact that you gave us that little bonus on the CD to motivate us to go back and get it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, music has changed. Before, you know, for us, you know, the going out and buying an album and, you know, having that thing in your hand and stuff is important. And, you know, there's just a whole group of people now that, you know, music's more of a background, it's a playlist thing, and, you know, it's a mood thing, and it's not so, you know, it's not so, it's more ephemeral, I guess. And so people, you just kind of have to figure out ways of getting to where people actually are rather than pretending that they're back where we are. And, you know, so yeah, it makes it interesting. I think CDs and LPs too, are things to sell at shows along with the t-shirts and stuff. And, the real thing of getting out to people is learning how to get on Spotify playlist. And, I'm up for it. It's kind of exciting. It's a new world.
That's nice. Great.
I'm glad to hear that you're adapting to that. It's tough tough for some of us older folks.
Yeah, it's really different. I mean, you know, we've had at least 25 years of you know, people not really paying, at least 20 years of people not paying for music, and now just the idea of owning anything, you know, sort of like music to borrow or rent or listen to. And I've noticed even I don't listen to an album as many times as I used to. I might listen to it once or twice and then, you know, move on to something else. And, you know, before it's like we would buy a record and then we'd live with it and read it and try to decipher it and look at the lyrics. And I'm glad there's still people doing that. Believe me, I love that. In fact, kind of very retro to do an album, and, you know, even more retro to do a concept album, but by golly, I did it.
You did it. So
we'll take that.
Yeah.
Take that modernity.
We're glad you did.
Cool. So now let me ask about Pacific Rain. Did that arrangement also kind of, you know, I'm enjoying the stories about how these songs come together and, you know, and you not being afraid to kind of explore different options. Did the arrangement of Pacific Rain come together also organically like that, or did you already have that vision when you walked in?
That song, I guess, I'm not sure how many ways it could be done, but I just really kind of saw it as a kind of a folk guy with a band behind him, you know, playing along. It probably could have been done some other way, but we just went for the obvious. And I think it turned
out. It's a beautiful song. It's a great
kind of a fun song.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Look out over the hills at the clouds above the trees. Water starts to fall. I hope it doesn't freeze. Oh, oh, Pacific Rain. About Portland, I can't say enough, so I'll just keep my mouth.
Well, the next song is Satellite Bar, and I have a question about that one, Russ. So you sing on Satellite Bar, "We'll drive our classic cars between the distant stars, and I'll see you up at the Satellite Bar."
We'll drive our classic cars between the distant stars, and I'll see you up at the Satellite Bar. Good intentions are rarely met. Have a dream but haven't started yet. We'll get going in the coming years, I'm sure. There's so much to take.
And for those of us that live in the Los Angeles area, we know that there is a bar in the Silver Lake area known as the Satellite. Is that the bar that you're singing of?
No, not at all. I mentioned Dave Drury before, who's a drummer, played with me for years and years. He passed away a couple years ago. And Dave, his dream always, besides playing drums, was that he was going to open a bar called the Satellite Bar, Dave's Satellite Bar. And he used to own Plymouth Satellite cars, which were the car that the Roadrunner was based on. And he had a couple of those cars from the 60s. And, you know, so it's a song about Dave, missing Dave, and also about, you know, act on your dreams, you know, get out there and do it. Don't just wait around because time is very short.
That's a good message. It's a great song, too. And I did want to say, for those that get the digital versions, you're missing out if you don't get the CD version, because this is another great track. Actually, it's probably one in my top two or three on the album.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. Yeah, somebody else said that, wow, your bonus tracks, they're as good as the rest of the record. Thanks.
Absolutely. And I'd add on, you know, the last bonus track, Time Flies.
Yes.
It is, you know, once again, the last of these three CD-only bonus tracks. This is a great song. And you mentioned before that this was a mostly live album. So did you record all 13 songs during the session for this album? Or did you record more, narrow it down? Or did you have a sequence in mind? In other words, how did these songs come together? Was it easy, first go, first shot, or...
Yeah, I had all the songs together, and there were no more than just these 13.
Okay.
And, you know, I was shooting for the idea of bottles, so, you know, 10 songs is about all you can squeeze on reasonably onto vinyl. So I was thinking, okay, let's do 13 and, you know, figure out what goes where, and, you know, maybe some aren't even... don't turn out even good enough to release. And so, but we went in, did the 13, and we cut them all in 2 or 3 days. It was great. Yeah, those guys are monsters. They're like real musicians. I shiver and shake when I'm around them.
When we spoke with Dave Provost, he spoke in very loving terms about this album and his work with this album. So It's nice to hear it from you too. That 2-3 days it was fun, and we can hear that.
Yeah, it definitely comes across.
100%.
Time flies, but wisdom walks. Patience waits, stupidity talks. I do the same things I want to stop for so long. And you're wondering how you're still alive. Yeah, your friends are dropping like flies. You ought to be grateful for every breath you take.
So, Russ, we've heard a little bit about an album release event at the Love Song in downtown Los Angeles on April 20th, or what in my circle we call 420. So can you tell us about that event? That's going to be a live performance, correct?
Yes, it is. It's the band that plays on the record. And we're going to be doing the record from front to back. And we don't have time anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so early show, Dan Janish opens up at 8, Dan solo. And then we're on at 9 and playing until 10. And then it's time to... get the music off the stage and get the DJ in there so that the drinking crowd will show up.
And
I think it's going to be a great time. I really love the Love Song. It's not real big, so it'll be very cozy and intimate, and they have great cocktails. So there's no reason not to come. Plus, it's free.
Nice.
There you go.
And it's the day after the album comes out, so I imagine you'll have copies for sale at the gig.
Oh yes. You know, we'll have beer cozies and shopping bags and tennis shoes and, you know, socks, embroidered socks. We'll have everything.
Fantastic. So April 20th, folks, in Los Angeles at the Love Song in downtown LA, 9 p.m. Do not show up late because by 10, the drinking crowd's in there.
Yes, right. We're out of there. The kids are in. They're drinking and hooking up.
But Russ, this is by no means the last stop. So you also have a tour schedule for May through July, which lands you dates in places like Spain, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Germany, the UK, and some final dates in California. All of these tour dates for our listeners can be found at RussTolmanMusic, all one word, .com, or the Russ Tolman Facebook artist page. And can you tell our listeners what they can expect from these live shows?
Yeah, the California ones is going to be the band that plays on the record. And we're doing it here in L.A., like you mentioned, on the 20th of April. And then we go up. We're going to be doing it again here in L.A. I can't confirm this right now, but a popular Sunday morning free music series that happens somewhere a few blocks from where I live here in North Hollywood is saying that they would like us to do it. And so when I can confirm that and give you a date, that it's going to be towards the end of June. And then we do it with the whole band up in San Francisco at the Makeout Room with Barbara Manning also on the bill. That's I think July 20th, and then back to LA August 10th, and then don't have anything booked. And then as far as the other tour, the European tour, is just me and my guitar.
Okay.
Lonesome Russ and his guitar going around Europe. And I haven't been to Spain in 20 some years, which is going to be great. I actually, you know, with Facebook now, you kind of get a real sense of, you know, where people are and their level of interest and stuff. So it's, you know, Norway, been there in recent years, and that'll be great. I always love going up to Tromsø, which is above the Arctic Circle. It's like a 2-hour plane ride north of Oslo, so you can imagine how far up it is. Wow. But what a great little town. It's called the Paris of the North, and it's a fun town. And everywhere in between. Also, I got to mention England. Doing a bunch of shows, a couple festivals, one the Red Rooster Festival that Nick Lowe headlines, and then doing a bunch of shows with Jesse Dayton, a roots guy from Austin, and he's pretty popular in the UK, so I'm pretty excited about being on that bill. And I have not played in England since like 1998, so to do that many shows is I'm very excited about it.
Fantastic.
Excellent. We hope our listeners get a chance to see you on one of those dates. I'm hoping to be at the Burbank show and maybe the other show that has yet to be announced. I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So, I don't want to jinx it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes open and see about that. But Russ, we wanted to switch gears and go back. We have two more questions for you. This one relates to your early days. So our main focus of our podcast is the Paisley Underground. And as we know, right. True West, the band, that one of the bands that you were in, has often been associated with this scene, the Paisley Underground. Can you tell us in your own words how you would define the Paisley Underground and why you believe that True West has been associated with the scene?
Well, we're kind of, True West is kind of the country cousins of the original bands. I mean, you know, even within the LA bands, there's a little bit of, I think everyone now has become more inclusive, but then it was sort of like, well, you know, it's only Rain Parade and Bangles and Dream Syndicate and 3 o'clock. You know, Long Riders don't count and Green on Red don't count and stuff. But, you know, as you move geographically away from, you know, LA, then all those bands became the same. And then, you know, if you move even farther, True West, and because of our, you know, our association with Steve and Kendra, we did a lot of shows together back in the day around Northern California with with Dream Syndicate, 3 o'clock, and Grin on Red. So it was, you know, we were part of the larger scene. We may not have been part of the core, but you know, if you grew up in England or Germany or Scandinavia, you know, we or even Boston, where, you know, we were there. Right. We may not have been at the barbecues with Steve and the Bengals and stuff, but we certainly were pals.
Right. And one last question before we let you go. Many of the bands from that Paisley Underground scene, and some that been deemed Paisley Underground adjacent artists, many of these artists and bands have been really active lately with new releases. Those can include, you know, the 3x4 project, new material by the Dream Syndicate, new material by the Long Riders. So we want to ask, can we at any time in the future expect something new from True West?
I just want to say that Long Riders record is amazing. I think it's really their best record yet. And that's, you know, you've got 30 years left to write some songs. It's amazing what you could do. You know, with True West, we kind of were premature. We kind of had our reunion. There was a reissue of our first two records on one CD around 2006, and we did a bunch of shows. For a while there, we were the Violent Femmes' favorite opener, and so we did. We did the Fillmore in San Francisco twice with them, and then down here at the House of Blues in Anaheim, and then we did some shows on our own and went to Norway and stuff. But yeah, we kind of did it before everyone else, and so now the answer to your question is I don't know. I really don't know. It's certainly been discussed, but there's no clear plan. Although I think we're going to embark on a pretty good reissue program, because there's still some stuff in the vaults, and you know, we'll go there first, and then we'll see. We'll just see. We don't know what lies ahead, and I'm so busy at the moment. So you know,
just put it on the to-do list. But then if we stay connected with your artist page and with your webpage, RussTolmanMusic.com, when those new reissues or possible reissues come up, we can definitely stay updated there.
Oh yeah, if you're within, you know, some range of social media, I'm sure you'll be, you know, I'll be annoying you with news about it, I'm sure.
Well, we're going to hold you to that, because we'd love to see anything, you know, your music, True West. We're ready for it, and the fans are ready for it.
Okay, cool. Okay. There's fans? There's really fans?
Believe it.
This is the first I've heard about fans. This is exciting.
We're here.
Oh.
They're not going to send you around the world, you know, just for fun. There's fans. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, Russ, we did want to thank you for taking time to discuss Goodbye El Dorado. We've been fortunate to be able to listen to it for the last couple weeks, and we're really enjoying it. For our listeners, just so you know, the album is coming out on April 19th of this year. Yep, and look for it online and in your stores. And again, Russ, thank you so much for taking time to walk through these songs with us that we've held dear to our heart for the last couple of weeks. And we just wish you success with the album and success on the road.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for your time today. And
you too. Okay. Bye now.
All right. Goodbye, Russ.
See ya.
Well, that was pretty cool. We got to walk through each and every song and find out a little bit about them.
I missed my golden opportunity to say adios, muchacho.
Oh, I was trying to work in the Goodbye El Dorado to a sign off too, but I'm not quick enough for that.
This is it's a neat album, and the time between the previous release and here, you know, I think you and I have been talking about it for the past couple of weeks. especially with some of these newer projects, you hear, it's very tangible. And you can hear like the fun and the joy that comes in just playing the music and playing these new tracks. When we spoke with Tom Stevens from Long Riders, he mentioned a very similar sentiment. And you and I have been kind of observing that over the past couple of weeks and talking with different people. And, you know, it was very palpable when we talked with Dave Provost.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just fun. There's fun in playing music and with these new albums and new material. I just like hearing it. I like hearing that joy come through in the music. And it's, I mean, Russ Tolman is he's a great guy.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we got a chance to talk with him.
Agreed, agreed. And speaking of Dave Provost, listen through the end of this podcast after our outro message. We'll have our conversation with Dave that I'll stick on at the tail end of this podcast so you can hear about what he remembered about recording Goodbye El Dorado.
Yeah. And, you know, just to reiterate, if you live in the Los Angeles area, so the album release is April the 19th. And again, you can get it digitally or get the CD, which has bonus tracks that you won't get in the digital file. And on April 20th, here in the Los Angeles area at the Love Song, Russ Tolman and the band that played on this album will be playing the album from 9 to 10.
From beginning to end.
For those of you who live in Europe, take a look at RussTolmanMusic.com for his tour dates from May through July of this year. Where he'll be making stops in Spain, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Germany, the UK, and back in LA and San Francisco. So I think a lot of us are going to have a chance to see him play, which is great.
Yep. Yep. Great news.
All right, Jeff. So without further ado, gente, a groovear.
Groove on, Paisley people.
Later.
Hey, Dave, we wanted to ask you a question. Can you tell us a little bit about recording Goodbye El Dorado? We wanted you to let us know how it was recording based on that album.
It took 5 months, and it was 7 days a week. It was painful. It was horrible. No, you know, it was the polar opposite of Medicine Show.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, we walked in, it was like one of those, you know, sessions you would have heard about at Gold Star back in the 50s where they did 18 songs in 3 hours, you know. But we walked in. I had recorded with Kevin. I had played with Dwayne Jarvis, Kevin's brother. We had done some live stuff with Carl Olson and Gene Clark. And I had recorded with Kevin before on a Ben Vaughn session that we did for a B-movie soundtrack with Tony Gilkinson. So I had worked with Kevin once before. And we just kind of rolled in that morning. We had played the song Los Angeles before. That was part of Russ. He had done a previous recording of that. The other songs, none of us had ever really heard. There was really no sheet music for him. Russ just kind of sang the songs. And I think we did all the tracking we did right on the spot in over the course of 2 days. The tracking really happened over, in 1 day. The basic tracks. And Kevin Jarvis and I would look at each other and we're like, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe this would work best as a mambo. You know, it's like, nah, not a mambo. Let's, you know, and so, you know, he'd pull out the brushes and I'm like, yo, that's perfect. That's it. And it just came together within a matter of minutes. And it's a very, very cohesive album. It's, you know, Russ is really good at the road trip kind of, I think it's music to listen to on a long trip, you know, and just traveling. for some reason, Russ's albums tend to be a landscape, and his songs are about places as well as people. So it was just it just came together in a matter of hours, and okay. And I really like it. It's a mood piece. It's definitely got a sweetness to it. It's not an over-the-top rock and roll album, but not everything has to be. You know, it's a very, and there's some just beautiful tunes on it. So I'm very happy with the way it came out.
That's fantastic. I like that. Polar opposite and things just gelled really quickly. I like that.
Yeah, you know, and those guys, they're able just to pull music out of thin air. You know, Kurt Swan is one of those. He's able to. There's some people that just really have to think about what they're going to play before they play it, and everything is measured. I'm like that when I play guitar. Mm-hmm. It's everything is thought out. But somebody like Kurt, he just you know, he'll get some vibration out of, you know, just sunlight or something, and that becomes a solo, you know. So those guys are just, you know, really great at pulling magic out of a hat. So that's kind of what those sessions were.